Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you that it is living and breathing and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's not an old antiquated book of rules, but it truly is a love letter from the creator of the universe to every single one of us in the room this morning. And Father, I pray as we look at your word, that Lord, it would reach down from heaven and just touch our hearts, Lord, that you would just touch us by your spirit. And Father God, it would help us to become the men and women of God you want us to be. To be able to walk through life knowing that we're not alone, that you love us, that you care for us, and that you direct our steps. So, Father, we put this morning into your hands, asking again that you would be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. If you're new here, and maybe you don't spend a lot of time in the Word, the book of Acts is right after John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the New Testament, and then the book of Acts. Now, the book of Acts, as we've been talking about the last few weeks, is really... It's called the Acts of the Apostles, but it could also be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And what happens is right after the four Gospels, we see that Jesus ascends back into heaven, and now the body of Christ, the physical body of Christ, now the ministry is happening through the spiritual body of Christ, which is what? The church, which is every one of us. Now as he was ministering himself, now he ministers through us. And so we see in the book of Acts, the first 30 years of the church, we're going to see this incredible explosive growth of the Christian church. And it happens because they are men and women who are submitted to the Holy Spirit, and they're seeking after God, and God does supernatural, awesome things through them. It's a story of those early believers who responded to the Great Commission to go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Let me ask you a question. What is it that turned Peter from a guy who was you know, Mr. Ready, Fire, Aim, Mr. Chopping people's ears off, Mr. Getting into trouble all the time, Mr. Standing out by the fire when Jesus was on trial and shaking in his boots and denying that he knows Jesus, to a guy who, as we saw the last few weeks, gets up and leads 3,000 people to Christ? What's the difference between Peter, the Peter beforehand and the Peter afterward? What was it? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit came to live inside of his life, and his life was transformed. What's the difference between Saul of Tarsus, who was killing Christians, who was on the road to Damascus on his way to kill some more, and he got knocked off of his horse, and he ended up being Paul the Apostle, who God used to write most of the New Testament, one of the most mighty men of God who's ever lived? What was the difference between Saul of Tarsus and the Apostle Paul? It was the very same Holy Spirit. What's the difference in our lives between just kind of muddling through life and trying to figure out what life's all about and having no peace and striving after joy through money and through our careers and through, you know, physical, everything that we could possibly look to find peace, and having peace and knowing that God is using us and that we're going to heaven and that God can do mighty and powerful things through our lives? The same difference that happened to Peter, the same difference that happened to Saul of Tarsus, is what God wants to do in us. Not just the Holy Spirit with us or in us, but truly upon us, working through our lives in a mighty way. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus went away. I'm just giving you a little quick review before we get to chapter 4. In chapter 1, he told them to wait for the promise. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall receive power from on high." The word for power is what? Dunamos. And dunamos is where we get the word dynamite or dynamic. And you meet somebody that's just on fire for God, well, that's the Holy Spirit upon them. Amen? Jesus said, "Of men born among women, there's been none greater than John the Baptist." And John the Baptist said, "I must decrease that he might increase." It's only when I die to who I am that God can truly live through me in a mighty and a powerful way. We've talked about this before, but the Holy Spirit can be with you, in you, or upon you. He's with the world. They call him their conscience. How does the world know right and wrong? They would know no right or wrong apart from the Holy Spirit. Period. Holy Spirit's with them, but they're not saved yet. They haven't given their lives to the Lord. When they're born again and they give their lives to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit goes from being with them to being in them. Now the Holy Spirit's in you. If you're a Christian this morning, you've given your life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. But the Bible talks about not just the Holy Spirit being with you or in you, but that he can be upon you, where now it's totally him living through you and doing mighty and awesome works. And in Acts chapter 2, that's what we saw happen. They were waiting together. All the believers were praying. The Lord had told them to wait, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them in Acts chapter 2. And they began to speak in other languages. And the people that were standing there heard the wonderful works of God. And many people came to know the Lord. And then last week, we talked about walking in the Holy Spirit. And we talked about the difference between these apostles, the apostles, not the B apostles, the apostles, right? These guys who were always blowing it. And we see the transformation in their lives. First of all, they went from being men of sleep to men of prayer. You guys remember that? Every time you see the apostles in the Gospels, when the Lord's praying, what are the apostles doing? They're napping. He goes, "Well, come and pray with me." They're out. They're sleeping. Maybe some of you can relate to that, right? You go to pray at night and you wake up the next morning with your alarm going off. And that's the kind of guys the apostles were. They were men of sleep when they were supposed to be men of prayer. But we saw after they received the Holy Spirit, they became men of prayer. We also saw that they became men of faith. Remember, they went to the lame man, a man that had been walked by for years, a man who had been laying by the gate. He was over 40 years old. And they're walking into the temple, and everybody just walked on by. And then they stopped and they saw him, and being men of compassion and men of faith, they stopped and they grabbed the man's hand. Remember what happened last week? The man started walking. Now, I believe it's God heals us physically today, but it's really a picture of what he wants to do in us spiritually. That we would not just be, you know, big fat sheep Christians, right? Just getting fed and laying around and doing nothing for the kingdom of God. God saved us to use us for his glory. Amen? He saved us so we might have an impact on the world around us. Not that we might just be the biggest, fattest pew potatoes on the planet, but that God would minister to us. And this lame man was there, and they had compassion on him, and they went to him, and they touched and transformed his life. Men of compassion, men of discernment, and men of faith. You know, I find it interesting that Jesus no doubt walked by this man many times because he was by the temple. And we know Jesus was going in and out of the temple. And what this shows us is that God does things in his perfect timing that he might be glorified. Amen? Jesus could have healed him any time, but he allowed it to go on so that he might be healed by the apostles, so that they might see how awesome God is, so they might have an opportunity to witness to everyone, which is what happened after they healed the lame man. There were also men of humility where they had been men of pride, because the people came and said, "Hey, dude, you healed somebody." People were holding on to him. They're all coming and going, "Ooh, you're a great healer." And Peter didn't say, "Okay, I'm going to have the worldwide healing ministry of the Apostle Peter," right? Everybody give your seed gifts to me and, you know, come bring me some money. And that's what the world does today. But you know what? That's not God's plan. That's not God's heart. What did Peter say? "Hey, don't look at me. Look at him." Amen? It's not about me. It's about God. It's what God did. It's not what we did. Then they became men of conviction because they spoke the gospel with boldness. And finally, men of the word as they taught the word without compromise. So we get to chapter 4 this morning. And we're going to see evidences of a spirit-filled life. If you're sitting here today and you're wondering, you know, where am I at in my walk with God? First of all, if the Holy Spirit is only with you, you can not have to walk out of here without him being in you. And if he's in you and you're born again and you're walking with the Lord, but you're kind of struggling, he can go from being with you to being upon you. And here's the evidence of the Holy Spirit being upon people, because here's what we're going to see this morning in Peter and John. First of all, if the Holy Spirit's upon you, you're going to face persecution from the world. Oh, wait a minute. Why do I want that program? You just said the Holy Spirit upon me, and you're telling me people are going to give me heat if I'm walking with God? Well, that's what's going to happen, because the world doesn't want to hear it. We'll talk about that. Also, we'll see that it will produce fruit, that you'll be able to lead others to Christ. You'll have boldness to proclaim the gospel. You'll be a reflection of Christ to a world that so desperately needs him, and you will be able to persevere in the face of opposition. So let's begin in verse 1. We're going to take a look at what I entitled Evidences of a Spirit-Filled Life. Look at verse 1. "Now as they spoke to the people," this is them witnessing and telling them about the love of Jesus Christ, "the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them." So Peter and John are telling people about the love of God, and here show up the religious wannabe guys, right? We've been talking about them. These guys wearing the black robes are really, really religious, and they're deader than doornails spiritually. These guys show up, and they're the priests, and the priests have been put in place by God. God put them there, and God was using them mightily. But what happened when Jesus died on the cross? What happened to the veil that went into the Holy of Holies? Who remembers? What happened? It was torn from top to bottom. God reached down and tore that veil that you and I can enter into God's presence anywhere, anytime, and we don't have to go through another man anymore. Amen? Now, God still puts people in position of a pastor to minister to you and to pray with you, but you don't have to come to me and ask me to go pray for you. I will gladly pray for you, but you can go to God yourself. Amen? And he desires not that you have a relationship with God through another man, but you can have a relationship with God directly. You can go straight to him. The veil's been torn. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's our great high priest. Well, the veil had been torn, and these guys were still priests. And they're still showing up, and they're checking up, going, "Man, all these people are giving their lives to God. We got to put a stop to this." And they come showing up, and we see along with them the captain of the temple. This guy was like the chief of the police, okay? This is the guy that when Jesus was arrested, you know, they gathered up all the guys, and they went out there with their torches to arrest the Savior. These same guys are showing up, and they're going to try to shut down the apostles. And also the Sadducees came upon them. Now we've talked about the Sadducees, and the Sadducees were sad, you see, right? Because these guys did not believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe that people could have life after death. Why in the world? Hey, if you're going to a church and the people in charge don't believe in life after death, run! Amen? And what's the point? Is this the Kiwanis Club or what? I mean, are we gathering for one reason? That's to know the creator of the universe and to have an impact on the world around us. And these Sadducees, you know, I think of them as being, you know, guys sucking on lemons, man, walking around, you know, and just bummed out all the time. And they truly were sad, you see, and they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe that God could do anything anymore. And they went and they believed, just live a good moral life and be a good person and you'll be just fine. And that sounds all great, but here's the reality. If you didn't know it when you got here, let me just tell you, you're a sinner. Amen? All of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you're part of all. All right? All in the Greek means all, okay? And so all of us are sinners. We all need a Savior, and that's why Jesus came. And if we could be good enough by ourselves, then he would not have had to hang on a cross and suffer and die that we might have eternal life. Amen? And he proved it on the third day when he rose from the dead. Well, the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. Hey, just be a good person. And this Jesus is, he was stirring people up, so they came and arrested him and had him crucified. And now his followers are doing the same thing. We got to shut these guys up. Let's go get them. So they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they're preaching the gospel, and the people are coming after them. These guys were really religious, but spiritually dead. And a lot of that going on in the world today. A lot of people wearing black robes don't know God. A lot of people pretending to put themselves in positions of authority and don't have any joy of the Lord. They're not walking with God. They tell, you know what, let me encourage you with something. Read the Bible. Don't wait for someone else to do it for you. Amen? Read the book, don't wait for the movie. Right? God's got a plan. He gave you his love letter and he wants you to spend time with him. Verse 2. Being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They wanted people only to find truth in them, and they were bummed that these guys, they were disturbed that they were preaching Jesus Christ, him crucified and risen from the dead. Now, after Jesus rose from the dead, we know that he appeared to thousands. People saw him walking around. Those of you who go to Israel with us in March, we are going to go to the empty tomb where Jesus was buried, and we're going to go inside, and guess what? He's not there anymore. Amen? And these guys are walking around just preaching the truth that Jesus Christ died, but he didn't just hang on the cross. He's a risen and living Savior. He paid for your sin. He's coming back. And these guys were greatly disturbed because they were preaching the resurrection, because the Sadducees were sad, you see, and they didn't believe in the resurrection. And they didn't believe that people, that their lives could be touched that way. They just wanted religion. Everybody come to church and be all bummed out. Bring your stuff and be really quiet. And, oh, you know, and God wants to smoke you. Oh, yeah. You know, that's not our God. Amen? He's a God of love and grace and mercy. Not a God with a big stick up in heaven waiting for you to blow it so he can rock you on top of the head. That's not the God we serve. Amen? And these religious guys come to put a stop to him sharing about the love of Almighty God. This is the evidence of someone who's filled to overflowing with the Spirit of God. They have such a love for the Lord that they want everybody else to know it. Amen? And some people aren't going to like it. Dude, man, that's your trip, man. Go for it. But don't be putting that garbage off on me, man. I got a good life. I'm fine. Hey, here's the reality, guys. Sin is like cancer. It brings forth death. And everyone in this world has the cancer of sin. And they're all going to die and be separated from God for all eternity if they don't come to know Christ. Hey, just because I got the antidote, Jesus Christ living in me, doesn't mean I should hide it from the world. If anything, it should give me a burden to see everyone else healed and touched the way that I've been healed and touched. Amen? The ultimate selfishness is to put it in my pocket and say, hey, I got my get-out-of-hell-free card. I'm good, right? I'm just going to live my life. But these guys were so in love with God that they said, hey, we're going to touch the world. We're not ashamed of Jesus Christ. He saved us for a reason. And the world comes in, oh, dude, you got to stop it. It's all about religion. You've got to be bummed out to be a Christian. You've got to have the black robe with the wheelbarrow full of rules and heaven at the end. Right? And the people think that Christianity is everything that God wants to take away from you. He came that you might have life and life more abundant. Amen? And so these guys are just sharing the gospel, and these guys show up and they're greatly disturbed. You've got to realize this is the same group that had Jesus crucified. And them standing up and saying, you know that Jesus that was crucified, everybody knew about it. Well, he rose from the dead. And you know what that makes these guys look like? Hey, they're the ones that killed the Savior. They're the ones that killed the Messiah. The blood is on their hands, and they don't like it. They didn't want to give up the throne. They were more interested in power and popularity than walking with God, verse 3. And they laid hands on them. And this doesn't mean to pray for them, okay? They didn't go lay hands on them and give them a hug like I hug you guys when you walk in the door. That's not what I'm talking about. It says they laid hands on them and they grabbed a hold of these guys, Peter and John, and it says there, and they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. They didn't grab them to bless them, they grabbed them to arrest them. When the enemy cannot refute the truth through lies, he will try to quiet those who speak it. We live in a country where it's becoming less and less popular to talk about God. Amen? And you know what? Even in school today, you know, you can have a Nazi club if you want, you can have a homosexual club if you want, you can have anything you want, but don't be talking about Jesus around here and telling people that God loves them. They don't want that. We got to get that out of our schools. It might corrupt our kids to have the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder, on the wall. Get it out of here. And so what's happened is that they're grabbing a hold and trying to quiet the truth because they cannot refute it with lies. It was already evening because in those days the Jews could not put anybody on trial at nighttime, even though they did it to Jesus. So evidence number one, if you're taking notes, of a spirit-filled life is persecution from unbelievers. And again, it just means that sometimes you're going to catch some flack. Dude, man, just get over it, man. Whatever. You know, I used to work and I had people come by and call me a Jesus freak. I take that as a compliment, by the way. Who better to be a freak for than Jesus Christ? Amen? You know, we can be, the word fan is short for fanatic. Man, you're a fanatic. You know what? Almighty God came to earth and suffered and died that I might have eternal life. He's cleansed me from the cancer of sin and I'm going to heaven. I better be excited. Amen? What's more important than that? Not how much money you got in your 401k or how much, you know, I can bench press or, you know, whatever else I think is important to me. It's not that important compared to eternity. Don't be dialing it down. Let's dial it up for the King. Amen? People are coming out of the closet for a lie. Let's come out of the closet for Christ. And if we're not being persecuted, we're just not glowing in the dark enough. Amen? Because the Bible says that you will catch heat sometimes. That doesn't mean we walk around with a blowhorn going, you're all going to fry. That's not what the Lord wants us to do. Right? We love people. Just love them supernaturally. Have a burden for them. Share with them the truth and the hope that lies within you. Number two thing is that you will produce fruit. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Now, in a matter of days, the church went from 120 people to 5,000. And it wasn't because they had the flying Willendas at church on Wednesday night. Bozo the Clown wasn't there, and they weren't handing out Big Macs in the parking lot. You know, churches try to gather numbers doing all kinds of stuff. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we see right here that even though they healed the lame man, what was it that brought people to salvation? It says, and many heard what? The word. And many saw the lame man healed. No, that's not it. People ran because the lame man was healed. But why were their lives transformed? Because God's word was spoke to them and they were touched by it. You know what? The reason that you guys come back every week, the reason that you're having an impact on the world around you is God's word is transforming your life. I have people ask me all the time, you know, Pastor Dave, I'd love to have the kind of faith that you have. And I tell them, it's not me. It's faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You want to have more stronger faith? Spend more time in the Word. Amen? Open up the Bible. Blow the dust off that thing that's been sitting on your nightstand for 6 months that you haven't opened. Crack that thing open and read God's Word, and I promise you, your faith will grow. Your priorities will change. Your perspective will be different. And these guys spoke the Word of God, and what happened? Church blew up. People got saved. Already growing like crazy. And in the midst of persecuting the bold and uncompromising of the truth of the gospel did not return void. They could not shut down God's word. So evidence number two is a life producing fruit. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you shared your faith with somebody? When was the last time you just told somebody that the Lord loves them? When was the last time you invited someone to come to church or just to come over to your house for lunch and just love all over them? That's what the Lord wants us to do. That's a sign of a spirit-filled life. Number three, boldness to proclaim the gospel. Look at verse 5. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. So all of a sudden, a Sanhedrin came out. Now the Sanhedrin is kind of like, you know, the bishops and the popes kind of thing. These guys come marching out. We're the religious leaders. And these guys come marching out, and now we're going to put Peter and John on trial. These are the exact same guys that put Jesus on trial. Same guys. Same guys that had Jesus crucified. Now Peter and John are walking in. They're going after them as well. You know what? Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you for my name's sake. For so they did the prophets who came before you. Did they persecute Jesus? Did they? Absolutely. So if you follow him, guess what? You're going to catch some heat sometimes. Just love them back. You don't overcome evil with evil, you overcome evil with good. A soft answer turns away wrath. Just love people. So these guys are preaching the truth. They grab them, they drag them in, and the Sanhedrin comes in, and out come the, you know, all the guys with the black robes with the wheelbarrow full of rules and whacking themselves with the boards in the face every two steps, and that's how you serve God. And these guys are all showing up, and now they're going to go after Peter and John. And they're going to tell them, you know, you guys got to stop. We're the religious leaders around here. You know what? You don't need a man to get to God. That's why Jesus came. Amen? You can go straight to the Lord. Praise God that he's not a faraway, distant God. So this same group now is going to try his followers. And they said to them in their midst, set them in their midst, said, by what power or by what name have you done this? How did you heal this lame guy back in chapter 3? What power did you use? And this is actually a question that they're asking to indict them, because in those days, if you healed anybody in any other name than Jehovah or Yahweh, then you were taken outside the city gates and stoned to death, because they would consider you as being somebody that the devil was using. And so they're asking this question to indict Peter and John, so they'll have a reason to get rid of them. We got rid of this of Jesus, now let's get rid of his followers. And so they ask him the question, and they're waiting for the answer. By what power? They wanted to know, not seeking information, but seeking to indict them. And the same guys that questioned Jesus are now questioning them. And I love the fact that when this had happened earlier, the last time this happened, they were questioning Jesus. Where was Peter? Who remembers? Where was he? He was by the fire, and he denied Jesus. The little girl came up and said, you're one of his followers. And he said, and he cussed, and he cursed, and said, I don't know her. I don't know him. I don't know him. And he walked away and went bitterly. Remember, Jesus came out and he saw him. They met. Their eyes met. I wouldn't want to. Ooh, that's heavy. You deny that you know God. You've been walking with the Lord for 3 years. And then you look up and his eyes come out after they've been beating him. And you see him. And Peter went away and went bitterly. Well, now they're asking the same questions directly to Peter. Last time when they asked Jesus, Peter was cowering and hiding. No Holy Spirit upon him. And he was afraid. This time, Peter's going to respond in a much different way. Where before he was warming himself at the enemy's fire, now Peter is on fire. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit had come upon him with tongues of what? Fire. So he went from warming himself at the fire to being on fire, and guess what? That got him into the fire. He's catching heat, right? And Peter went from just warming himself at the enemy to now he's on fire for God, and now he's catching the fire of the enemy. And look how Peter's going to respond. Just remember, when you're on fire, you're going to be persecuted by the world. Verse 8. Then Peter, so we make sure we understand this, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, I don't know who he is, and ran away and hid. No, that's what he did last time. This time he says, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man by what he means or what he has made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Preach it, Peter. Peter gets up in front of this crowd of the Sanhedrin, the religious guys that he was scared to death of before, and there's no fear for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? And now he's standing before him and he says, it's by the name of Jesus Christ, the one you guys killed, the one that you guys crucified, but oh, by the way, he rose from the dead, and all of Israel needs to know it's through him that this man was touched and his life was transformed. I also want you to see something here. It's because of their persecution, because they got hands laid on them, that they're now having an audience with the most influential men in the religious world. Sometimes we go through difficulty just so God might have an opportunity to use us, that he might be glorified. Amen? It's through those trials and those struggles and those difficulties that we go through that God brings opportunity for the gospel. When you go through tough times, I promise you people are watching. Amen? Especially if they know you're a Christian. The world goes sideways when things get tough. How do you respond? If you got Jesus Christ in your life, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The worst thing the world can do to me is shoot me, and that's the best thing that could happen to me. Amen? Because I close my eyes on earth, I'm going to open them up in heaven. I'm just going to move to a much better neighborhood. It's all good, right? And when you have an eternal perspective, you know what? It doesn't matter. The world's not going to be so heavy duty on you that you can't take it. You're not going to run and start, you know, taking prescription drugs or drinking your trials away. You're going to turn to the Lord. And these guys get up and they're not afraid anymore and they're preaching Jesus Christ, Him crucified and risen from the dead, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Even when the world crumbles. And look what they say in verse 11. Now, I love this, because where does He take them? He's talking to the religious leaders of the day. He takes them to the Bible. He says, "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." He quotes Psalm 118, verse 22. Would the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the elders and the priests have known this verse? Of course. They knew the Bible, but they didn't know the God of the Bible. They knew the Word of God, but they didn't know the God of the Word. And these guys didn't get it, and he said, "Hey, let me help you out." And he takes them back to Psalm 118. He said, "Remember how it said that they would reject the chief cornerstone? Well, that was Jesus, and you guys are the ones who rejected Him." Peter's just bringing it direct, and he's doing it to convict these guys of their need for a Savior. Hey, guys, it's not about religion anymore. It's about having a relationship with Almighty God. I don't even like the word religion. I struggle with it. Now, I like what it really means. The word is relingara, okay, which means to relink. Relinking sinful man back to holy God. Oh, I like it then. But what has religion become? It's become a bunch of rules and a no-fun bummer God, and I got to go serve my 1 hour a week on Sunday so that, you know, all the stuff I messed up during the week, I'll still, you know, weigh it out when I get to heaven. God will have to say, "Well, you were at church. Come on in," right? And we think that that's what we're doing with God. We think we're scoring brownie points with God. I've got another mark by my name, right? Oh, I blew it. I better run to church, right? And the reality is that's not God's heart at all. It's that we have not religion but a relationship with Him. Now look at this. Look at verse 12. If you underline stuff in your Bible, underline verse 12 and verse 13. Look what it says. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by men by which we must be saved. There is only salvation in Jesus Christ alone." Amen? Buddha hung on no cross. Muhammad did not raise from the dead on the third day. Mary Baker Eddy, Charles Taze Russell, the Joseph Smith of the Mormon Church. You can give me all the churches in the world and all of the men that they follow are deader than doornails. We can go dig up their bones right now. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a risen and living Savior. But Pastor Dave, maybe Confucius went to these people, and maybe Muhammad is the God for these people. What does the Bible say? There's salvation in no other name under heaven. There's no other way. There's no other truth. There's no other life. It's Jesus Christ alone. Amen? I'm so glad. I'm so glad there aren't 75 different ways and I'm hoping to find one of them. I'm glad that God's made it very clear. He said, "It is finished." He paid the price and He rose from the dead. Well, I follow such and such a guru. Well, when He raises from the dead, come talk to me. When He creates the universe like Jesus did, come and spend some time with me. Jesus is not only the Son of God, He is God. He created the universe and everything was made by Him. Amen? And so our faith is not in a dead God or a dead religion, but in a risen and a living Savior. And there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Well, it's a broad path and we can get it. The Bible says broad is the path that leads to destruction. All paths lead to God. You know what? That's true. But only one leads to heaven. Because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, ultimately, after we die. And so we see here that he says, there's no other name under heaven. Now, how do you think these super religious guys are feeling about this program? Right? I mean, they were already mad. Now that he's up there in the courtyard just telling them, it's Jesus, you guys. No other name under heaven. If you don't know Jesus, you're not going. But we're the religious guys. Look at my robe, right? Look at the hems on my garment over here. Man, I live in the... what are you talking about? I'm part of the Sanhedrin. I'm one of the 71 most holy guys in the world. You're a sinner in need of a Savior. That's what Peter's telling them. And the reality is, no, there's none righteous, no, not one. And so we see that there are two religious paths, but only one leads to salvation. There's none righteous, no, not one. You can't be good enough. You can't go to church enough. You can't do enough good things to somehow weigh out the balance. Because if God allows one sin in heaven, He's got earth part two. Amen? If one sin gets into heaven, you got earth all over again. So that means we're all sinners. There can be no sin in heaven. So how do we get in? Good works don't get rid of your sin. Amen? Jesus Christ got rid of your sin. Only through Him can we be saved. Verse 13, the fourth point, reflecting the law. So boldness to preach the gospel, no fear of man. We saw that because they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Man, I love this verse. I underline this verse. I wrote in the margin of my Bible, life verse. This is one of my life verses. That God can use an untrained man who's been with Jesus. That God can use someone that's not the most eloquent or the most educated or the smartest or the sharpest. The eyes of the Lord search to and fro among the whole earth, searching for those he can use. He can show himself strong on account of. He's not looking for ability, but availability. Amen? He doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. Too many churches today, well, you got a degree after your name because you went to a seminary or a cemetery, as some would call them, and you go there. And you learn about it, and there's nothing wrong. Bible college is great. I encourage all of our kids to go to Bible college. But just because you graduated from a school and you got letters after your name doesn't mean you're called by God. Amen? We're putting people in positions. Well, he's our newest bishop. Well, he's a homosexual, but he's got a degree after his name. Right? Episcopal Church. And what's happening is the Bible's not important anymore. It's popular culture. And he's got a PhD and a THD and a, you know, piled higher and deeper, right? I mean, he's got all this stuff. And we look at men and we judge them from the world's perspective. Man, give me someone that's been with Jesus. Amen? Someone's hanging out with God. Real quickly, some of you know that I almost went to Texas to pastor a church back in the late 90s. And I had sent, they called me, they got a tape of mine somehow, and they called me and said, we got a church and we would love for you to come be our pastor. And they're sending me letters and they're calling me on the phone and they're excited and they know that they've heard from God and they had me send some more tapes and they're listening to them on Wednesday night at their church and we're excited. And they had me send a picture and they're praying for my wife and my kids, and I mean, it was like a done deal. And then all of a sudden, I get this thing and they say, please fill out, and I filled it all out and they go, oh, Dave, when we got your letter, we noticed you forgot to tell us where you went to seminary. I wrote back and said, well, it's because I didn't go. Now, nothing wrong with seminary, nothing wrong with Bible college, but you know what? Don't look for the most educated man. Look for the ones who've been hanging out with Jesus. Amen? Peter and John were apostles. These guys were fishermen, but they've been hanging out with Jesus. And I got the quick letter back saying, well, we're going to go in another. We've heard from the Lord, but maybe not. You don't have a THD, and oh, never mind, right? And the reality is that it's God who calls us and God who equips us. You might be sitting there saying, well, God can't use me. The only reason God won't use you is if you won't let him. Amen? He wants to use all of us. He saved you to use you. God's a great and an awesome God. They've been hanging out with Jesus. Let me ask you a question. How long have you been hanging out? How much time do you spend hanging out with Jesus? How much time do you spend drawing near to him, filled with his Spirit, spending time in his Word? Do you have praise music in your car? Are you seeking after God? And that's what happened. And these guys said, well, they've been with Jesus, and it blew their minds. I love the fact that they said, you know, they're untrained. Were they in your rabbinical school class? I didn't see them. Did you see them there? I didn't see them there. Here they are quoting the Old Testament, and they're expositing it to us. Who do these guys think they are? Oh, those are guys that are hanging out with Jesus. Oh, yeah, those are guys hanging out with Jesus. You know what? That's the greatest thing in the world. These guys were the first Jesus freaks. Amen? These guys were in love with the Lord, and people saw it, and it transformed their life. So number four, evidences of a Spirit-filled life as being a reflection of Jesus Christ. Last point, perseverance in the face of opposition. Look at verse 14. And seeing the man who had been healed standing among them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves. Here the religious guys are, got their black robes on. So what are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. They're healing people. Here they got 5,000 people in their church. You know, we've been doing all this stuff, and we're not getting that. I don't understand. Their church is growing like crazy. They're healing lame people. Have you ever healed? I never healed nobody. How about you? I haven't healed nobody either. And they're standing around going, what are we going to do to these guys? We got to do something. Nobody's going to come to temple anymore. They're all going to go hang out with them instead. We got to stop this, right? When they commanded them, they went outside. What shall we do to these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done through them, is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. We can't pretend like it didn't happen. The lame guy's walking around. The same guy that had been sitting by the gate 40 years, people see that guy walking and leaping and praising God as we saw last week. That's a testimony. Amen? Guy's been laying by the thing begging for food for 40 years, and all of a sudden he's running through town walking and leaping and praising God. No one's denying that program, right? It's like when Lazarus died, right? John 11. Lazarus dies, everybody goes to his funeral, and then 4 days later, the guy's walking around. That's a testimony. Amen? You can't deny that. Dude, I was at your funeral, right? What are you doing here, right? And I mean, can you imagine? But here's the reality. The same thing should happen to us because we were once dead in our trespasses and sins, and we've been made alive in Christ, amen? And we should have such a glowing in the dark testimony that people should say, dude, I knew you. I used to drink with you. I used to party with you. I used to see you blow a head gasket. I saw how you talked to your wife. I saw how you responded in the neighborhood when something little, kind of, tiny thing happened. And dude, you're different. What happened to you? Jesus. Amen? I got to know the Savior of the universe. Let me tell you about him. Amen? And that's what's happened with these guys. They've been with Jesus, and they say, man, we can't deny what they've done. The lame guy's walking around. How do you refute that? I guess we could go knock his legs out, right? Isn't that what they want to do to Lazarus? Lazarus is walking around, so what do the religious leaders want to do? Kill him. Dude, we can't say nothing. The guy, we went to his funeral. He's walking around. Let's go kill that guy. This is not somebody truly seeking God. Amen? These are people that want to be in charge and be on the throne. And if someone, Lazarus, that's not good. And the same thing will happen to us if you're glowing in the dark for Jesus Christ. Verse 18. So they called them. Verse 17, excuse me. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. I don't think that's going to work too well. Let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in his name. So they called them in and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Yeah, that's going to work. Hey, Peter, Paul, come in here. Peter, John, excuse me. Come on in here, guys. Here's the thing. We're gonna threaten you. Don't be talking about that Jesus anymore. I know you're healing lame people. I know the church has exploded. You got to stop doing that right now. You know what? You're going to have people do that to you. I don't want to hear, don't talk about it anymore. One time, I think I told you guys, I used to have Christian stickers on my cubicle at work, and I had my boss call me in one time and said that people were offended by him. You know, I don't want people to be offended by me. If I'm offending people, God forbid, that's not what I'm called to do. But she said, I need you to take all the stickers down because some people walk by, and when it says Jesus loves you, they get offended by that. So you need to take that stuff down. I said, well, the guy next to me has, you know, half-nude women posters up. The guy right next to that has his gay Johnny stuff because he's a homosexual guy. The person around the corner's got their feng shui thing working with the waterfall and all that garbage going on. You got everything else in the world, right? Move your Kleenex box and you'll have health. I mean, stop it, right? But here's the thing. She's telling me you can't talk about Jesus at work. And you know what? For a spirit-filled Christian, tell them they can't talk about Jesus like tell them they can't breathe anymore. We've outlawed your breathing. You're not allowed to breathe here anymore. I got to breathe. And I got to tell people about Jesus. Amen? And she said, well, I need it. I said, well, it's just, I'm not going to do that. I said, and I just shared the gospel with her again. I said, Terry, here's the deal. I said, the people down there have cancer, and I've got the antidote, and I'm not going to hide it from anybody. I'm not going to get the get-out-of-hell-free card and put it in my wallet and walk around like it doesn't matter. Those people need the Lord. I said, and Terry, you need the Lord. She said, well, I kind of knew you weren't going to do anything about it. Go back to work, right? But here's the thing. They're threatening these guys. We're going to threaten you. Ooh, right? My best friend created the universe. What have I got to sweat from man? Amen? These guys aren't worried about the guys in the black robes. We're going to threaten you. Now, Peter was before. Peter, before Pentecost, would have went, oh, okay, well, you know, never mind, right? I won't do it. I'll go back and fish. It was easier. No one messed with me on the boat, man. I'm going, right? And he could have done that. But now, filled with the Spirit of the living God, he's not going to do anything but what God tells him to do. And so they get, we severely threaten you. No more. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Hey guys, should we listen to you or God? Should I listen to men or the creator of the universe? Let me think about it. I'm going with God. Amen? And he just tells them straight up, commanding again, someone, a spirit-filled believer, not to share his faith is like telling them not to breathe. We're to obey the authorities that God has placed over us until they tell us to act contrary to the word of God. May our love for God and his word always supersede our desire to please men. Why do we get in trouble often? We're more concerned about what men think than what God thinks. If Peter and John had been more concerned about what men thought, they would have stopped. Well, I won't be popular anymore. They won't like me, the Sanhedrin. They'll be talking bad about me. My friends, I won't get invited to as many parties, right? And sometimes we don't want to share the love of God with people because we're more worried about what men think than what God says. And these guys said, we're going to honor God. We're going to spend eternity with him. We're going to be faithful before him because that's what matters. Verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go. And finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. I love this. God's being glorified, and the religious leaders of the day are trying to shut them up because God's being glorified. Do you want that guy to pastor your church? I mean, do you want people to say, oh, you're loving God more? Stop it, right? I mean, that's what these guys are doing. God's being glorified, and they're trying to make them be quiet. And they're saying, but we can't do anything because everybody's glorifying God. And if we go after these guys, everybody in town's going to come after us. We got to let them go. Verse 22. For the man was over 40 years old whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Now watch how these guys respond. Last eight verses here. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported to all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When the time of difficulty and trial came, where did these guys go? Where did they go? To their Christian friends. They ran to the other apostles and said, hey guys, chief priests got together. Everybody, you know, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, everybody's coming after us. Annas, Caiaphas. And they told us, if we talk about God anymore, we're going to be in big trouble. And they ran to their Christian friends and said, verse 24. So when they heard it, they raised their voice to God. What did they do? They prayed. Difficulty came and they ran to their closest friends and they said, let's go before God. How many of you guys have friends that you go and you pray with? Amen? We need that. Amen? When difficulties come, you can go a lot of different places. You can run to your coworkers. The Bible says, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, and say, did you hear how the boss was talking to me? What do you think I ought to do? If I were you, right? And you get some ungodly counsel, and before you know it, you're brawling with your boss, and then you get fired, and, right? You can run to your coworkers. You can run to your old buddies. You can run down to the bar and, you know, get lit, because that'll make you feel better, till you're puking the next morning, right? And you got all these things you can run to. You can run to, you know, get lost in your TV program, or you can go do those kinds of things. Or you can turn to your Christian friends, and you can't do that if you don't have any Christian friends. Amen? That's why we gather together. Run to people who are like-minded and say, man, going through some heavy stuff at work. Could you pray for me? Dude, absolutely. Let me pray for you. Can I tell you one of my greatest privileges as your pastor is praying for you? And what I really love is every week I have people come up and say, God answered prayer again. Praying about cancer, God answered prayer. Praying about my job situation, God answered prayer. Praying for my children, God answered prayer. And it's just awesome because our God desires to heed our prayers. He desires that we would come before Him. And prayer doesn't change God's mind, it changes our hearts. Amen? And as we pray, God will conform us more into His image. And so these guys don't run to the world. They don't go out and hire a bunch of vigilantes to go smoke the Sanhedrin, right? What do? They go and pray. Let's seek the Lord. Let's worship Him. Let's turn to our Christian friends. They raised their voice and with one accord said, Lord, you are God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. That's a good way to start prayer, by the way. Remember who God is. You know, you'll hear me most of the time when I pray, I always begin by talking about how great God is. Because when you realize how great God is, it sure makes your problems seem like nothing in comparison. Amen? They say, God who created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. These few guys over here that you created are after us, Lord. Could you take care of it, right? Amen? When you compare it to who you're praying to, when you understand how great God is, the trials and difficulties of life fade away. Verse 25, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. They're saying, you know what? They came after you when you were on earth, Lord, and now they're coming after us. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. What did he say? The people were used by you, Lord, to crucify your own son. But Lord, that was a part of your plan. And Lord, the fact that I'm going through tough stuff right now is a part of your plan. And just as you use a crucifixion for your glory, Lord, you can use my trials for your glory. The stuff I'm going through, Lord, you can use this to further your kingdom. So praise God. I'm in it. Lord, show me. Lord, show me how you want to use me. Verse 29. Now the Lord looked on their threat. Now, Lord, look on our threats, on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness that we may speak your word. Now, I love this. Again, another verse that's underlined in my Bible. Let me tell you why. Lord, help. Get rid of those dirty dogs. Lord, deliver us from it. Lord, raise up an army to protect us. Is that what they said? They said, Lord, help us just to keep speaking your word. They're threatening us, but Lord, help us to be faithful. They didn't pray for deliverance, but boldness. Amen? They didn't say, get me out of this trial right now. They said, Lord, just help me to walk with you even though things are difficult right now. Great prayer to pray. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Pray that we'll have boldness. Pray that, and we pray, Lord, that you'll continue to do mighty works, and through these mighty works that many will come to know you. Last verse. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. How did they respond? They sought fellowship in the midst of persecution. They took confidence in God's faithful control. They came before the Lord, and they didn't pray to be delivered, but they prayed to be bold. And that's a prayer that God will answer every time. If you're in the midst of a difficult time and you say, Lord, through this, use this for your glory. Use this as an opportunity for me, Lord, to be a representative of you. Let me, Lord, live through it in a way that people will know that you're God. And then, Lord, give me the words to speak to comfort them when they go through those same difficulties. So through prayer, the place was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So in review, evidences of a Spirit-filled life. Number one, you're going to get persecuted by the outside. Number two, you will produce fruit. Number three, you'll have boldness to proclaim the gospel. Number four, you'll be a reflection of Christ. And lastly, you will have perseverance in the midst of opposition. I want to close with this. What is your relationship today with the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit just with you because he's with the whole world? Or have you realized that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and you've asked Jesus Christ to come and live inside of you? And if he's inside of you and you've been born again, you know, Nicodemus, the most religious man of the day, one of these very same Sanhedrin, one of the religious guys with the black robes, came to Jesus by night and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus didn't say, just go be a real religious guy. Just keep doing your stuff. He said, you must be born again. John chapter 3. You must be born again. And he said, can I crawl back into my mother's womb a second time? He said, no, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit goes from being with you to being in you. And then if you're a Christian here, what did they do to have the Holy Spirit come upon them? We saw it in Acts chapter 2. We saw it here in Acts chapter 4. They did one simple thing. They prayed, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon me. And the Lord wants to do that. Not so you'll, you know, so you'll be just out of control, blabbering in other languages, walking down the street, talking to yourself, right? No, the Holy Spirit's not the author of confusion. He comes into your life that you might have an impact on the world around you. That when difficulty comes, that you know that he's with you and you don't sweat. It's okay, God, you're with me. I'm not alone. I'm walking with the Lord. It's okay. Hey, here comes an opportunity to share the love of God with my next door neighbor or my coworker or, you know, someone at the Little League field, wherever you spend your time. I can tell them about the love of God. Divine appointments. God wants to do that with you. Where's the Holy Spirit? Is he with you? If he's with you, he can be in you. Just confess you're a sinner and ask him to be your Savior. If he's in you, he can be upon you. If you just simply say, Lord, pour your Holy Spirit upon me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. And we thank you that you are such a great and an awesome God. Lord, I pray if there are any here this morning that have never given their lives to you, that have never openly confessed, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, that Father, even right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would just open their eyes to their need for you, to see that they're not joining an organization or trying to do better, but truly they're giving up and saying, God, I can't do it without you. And if there's anybody here this morning, just with every head bowed, if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, and you want to know for sure that you're going to heaven, that the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, I just want you to do something real simple. I just want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Is there anybody here at all? Anybody? Just, the Bible says, you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. And Lord, I also want to lift up those here that may know you, but Father, desire that there would be more power in their lives. The Father God, your Holy Spirit wouldn't just be with them or in them, but truly upon them. That we'd be like men like Peter and John, who love you above all else, who have boldness in times of difficulty, that run to our Christian friends when things get tough, but Lord, that we would remain faithful. If there's anybody here right now, if that's your heart and your desire, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would just pour out his Holy Spirit upon you. I just want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. God bless all the hands that are up all over the room. Heavenly Father, you see these hands. And I just pray, Lord, you'd pour out your Holy Spirit upon every single one of them. That, Lord, they wouldn't live a defeated life of the world, but they'd walk victorious, filled with the Spirit of the living God. Lord, I pray that you would give them a deeper hunger for your word. A deeper hunger, Lord, to spend time with other Christians who can encourage them in their walk. A deeper time to a deeper desire to pray and go before you on behalf of others. And Lord, just give them boldness and comfort during trials. And Lord, just allow them, Lord, to impact the world around them. So, Father, we know that without you, we can do nothing, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we just thank you and praise you for this morning, for the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand and close the worship song.